Well, finally, first of all, the first four verses, we focus on God's character. Then, from verses 5 through 9, we focus on our character. And then, from verses 10 through 13, we focus on God's work. But then, starting in verse 14, we have to look at what God expects from us. Our work. What are we supposed to do? Remember how the Apostle Paul says, work out your salvation? Boy, people get all nervous about that. They go, oh, I thought there's no works. No, there's a response. You can call it response. But focus on our work or our response. We must repent. Now, there's a lost word. I'll say it again. It's so absent nowadays. Must repent. Now look at verse 14. Very beautiful. Verse 14. First of all, we have to call sin what it is. It's sin. Now, a lot of people, they're willing to say, I made a mistake. They're willing to say, I didn't do that as well as I should have. They're willing to say, I'm sorry, I was unkind or whatever. Instead of saying, I sinned. People don't like that. Why? Because to say I sinned, you have to agree with God. And all that's within us, our flesh, our pride, rebels against that. We don't want to say that we sin. We want to say we made mistakes, that we're weak, but not that we sin. He calls sin what it is. Look at verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. Wait a minute. Did he kill Uriah? No, I thought an Ammonite did. He killed him. He sent him there. He deceived. He negotiated. He deceptively brought him to the forefront and had him killed. And so look what he finally does. It. He repents by calling sin what it is. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. I killed Uriah, O God, thou God of my salvation. My tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness then. He says, I'll call sin what it is in my life. That was sin. God, forgive me of that. Cleanse me of that. Renew me. Number one, as we focus on our work, we must repent by calling sin what it is. Number two, verse 15 says, not only do we have to call sin what it is, we have to start talking to God. Look what happens. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare thy praise. You see, when we're down in sin, we're strangely silent to God. That's what Psalm 32 is all about. We'll see it next week. He just closed his mouth. He wasn't talking to God. In fact, he wasn't talking to anybody. He was just, he'd lost his song. He wasn't interested in talking to God. And our work, when we call sin what it is, when we repent, we have to start talking to God. We have to just open our lips and say, God, open my mouth back up. Don't let me hang around down here in the lowlands. Let my mouth declare your praise. You know, sometimes when we're down, if all we'll do is just start praising God for who He is and what He's done and what He means to us, God will just restore our joy. Next, verses 16 and 17. We have to experience true contrition and not mere externalism. Look what he says. You don't delight, verse 16, in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You're not pleased with burnt offerings. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. You see, it would have been easy to just taken a lamb and taken it to the tabernacle and had him kill it in his place. It would have been easy to have brought a guilt offering. It would have been easy to have brought a sin offering. God says, I don't want you to merely externally do something. I want you on the inside to have a broken spirit. What does James say? Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. What did Paul say? Godly sorrow works repentance, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Let me explain the difference. Godly sorrow is, God, I have sinned against you. I have broken your righteous standard. I have, and you name the sin. You know what the sorrow of the world is? Oh, no. I've lost my health. Oh, no. I have lost my job. Oh, no. I have, a sexually transmitted disease. Oh, no. I'm pregnant or whatever. We sorrow over what happens to us. That's not godly sorrow. That's not sorrow that brings repentance. It reminds me of what Howie Hendricks says. He says, when the man goes into the quick stop place and sees the pornographic material and stands there and looks at it and begins the fires burning within him. When he comes out, he goes, God, I'm sorry, I looked at the magazine. That's not confession. Confession is saying, I wanted to and I did. And I began a fire, as the writer of Proverbs says, within my bosom that will burn me up. And God, I ask you to cleanse that and take away that wicked desire. That's confession. Admission doesn't count. And he says here, I'm not going to admit, I'm going to confess. I'm going to experience true contrition, not mere externalism. I'm not just going to offer some little lamb. I'm going to be brokenhearted inside. Finally, verses 18 and 19. We're looking at what he had to do. He had to call sin what it was, verse 14. He had to talk to God, verse 15. He had to experience true contrition and not mere externalism in 16 and 17. And then, wonderfully, verses 18 and 19, he had to begin zealous worship and fresh and new seeking of God. Look at 18. By thy favor do good for Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. Then thou wilt delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings, and the young bulls will be offered on thy altar. What he's saying is, he says, God, now that I'm back with you, he says, I'm gonna zealously follow your program. I'm gonna zealously praise you in Zion. I'm gonna zealously bring my offerings to you. But not as a token, but now from a true heart.